ask you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, the very last chapter of the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 in the Old Testament. This is the time that the people of Israel have come into the promised land. Land that was promised them hundreds of years before this through their father Abraham. The land has been divided among the people, and now God is bringing them together this time to give them an exhortation, an encouragement. I'm going to go stronger than that. He gave a command. And that command is to God's people, choose you this day whom you will serve. The scripture that I read at the beginning of the service out of 1 Kings was a time when Israel had come to a place where they were trying to ride the fence. They were one way this way, one way that way, and Elijah was brought there with the purpose of saying, don't be confused between two opinions. It's time to make a clear choice. It's time to come to that place. Who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve God, or am I going to serve the gods of the world? So now, before that the people are dispersed to their allotted places, their allotted lands in the promised land, God tells Joshua, bring them together. So Joshua chapter 24, starting with verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we've opened our Bibles and read from Your Word, Lord, I could even feel a strengthening within my very being as I read concerning those things which You did for Israel of old. And I can identify with those things to some degree as I look back and see how that Your hand has been upon me throughout my life. And Lord, I thank You that even to this day, I still feel Your hand of mercy and Your guidance. And I ask, Lord, for blessings. I ask blessings upon this congregation this morning, that as we look at Your Word, may every heart, may every mind be stirred as each individual would look back upon their own lives to see Your hand upon them. And Lord, as we leave this place today, may we leave with a determination that we will serve You. Bless us, Lord. Bless to Your honor, to Your glory, to our well-being. In Christ's name I pray, and amen. Paul, as he was writing the church at Philippi, he exhorted them to forget those things which are behind. Here, God is exhorting Israel to remember things that are behind. So that tells me that there are certain things in our past that we really need to just forget. We need to let go of, because if we don't, it'll weigh us down. It'll bring us to a place where that our service is brought to a standstill. The writer of Hebrews puts it in chapter 12, let us lay aside every sin and weight that does easily beset us. Those things that would cause us to go off course. Let's put them behind, but think back on the things where that God has shown Himself to be strong on our behalf in so many ways. And as we look at this morning, I believe that every one of us, if we would just stop for just a moment and think back on our lives, no matter how young or how old we may be, that we would look back on our lives, we would see that God has had His hand upon us in so many different ways, in so many different forms, in so many different fashions, and He's brought us to this point even today. It's by God's grace that we are here now, purely and simply. So, this is at a point, as I said, they're getting ready to be dispersed. They're getting ready to go and to inhabit the land that has been allotted to them throughout the promised land, the land of Canaan. And in verse 1, it tells us that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel together, and he brought them together in such a way that their heads, or the oldest of the group, right on down, came before them, but then all the people were there. And it says in verse 24 that they presented themselves before God. They presented themselves before God. That phrase jumped out at me this week in a way that made me stop to think about, how is it when I enter into God's house, how do I present myself before God? How is it when I enter into the doors, into this sanctuary to worship Him, how do I present myself before God? Am I here saying, well, Lord, I'm here. You're blessed that I decided to come today, or I didn't have anything else better to do today, so I just came into Your house today, and I just thought I'd give You a little bit of my time, Lord, and You're welcome. Or do I come with the understanding that I need my God Almighty in every way, in every form, and in every fashion. Now, I'm not going to say what I'm about to say in such a way as to say that it would become a ritual. But there are those religions that, as they would approach into this building, as they would come through up the stairs, under the porch, into the building, that there would be a prayer that would be prayed with every step. A prayer, making preparation, preparing my heart, getting ready to worship the Lord. And I have to tell you that I have had to do some self-searching this week, some self-seeking as to what is my approach, what is my attitude when I'm walking into the house of God. And I've said it before, I'm always glad to see every one of you. But quite honestly, I'm not here for you. I'm here because I'm to come before my Lord and my God who has blessed me once again. I'm not here to honor you. And quite honestly, I'm not here to please you. But if my message is please God, then I have done what God has called me to do. So Joshua called the people, and they came and they presented themselves not before Joshua, not before each other. They presented themselves before God. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you haven't stopped to just present yourself before God, that you would take at least 10 seconds just now to say, Lord, I'm in your presence. And I'm here to honor you. I'm here to receive what you have for me. I'm here to bless your name. I'm here to exalt your name. I'm here to worship you. There's a song that has hit me so hard in the last 6, 7, 8 years. It says, I've come back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Lord. And the song goes on to say, I'm sorry for the things that I've made it. What have we made worship to be? What is our focus? What is our aim? What's our desire when we enter into the building? I pray that we're here to present ourselves before God. Lord, I honor you. I worship you. But at the same time, Lord, I need to be cleansed. I need to be renewed. I need to be revived. I need to be refreshed. I need to be brought back to a place where that the things of life that are weighing me down, that I can just lay them down for a little while and just be in your presence. I'm here for you, Lord. I'm here to honor you. They came and they presented themselves. I wonder what they were thinking at that moment. The battles have supposedly been fought. We know that there's more battles to come. But the battles have been fought. God has said, here's the land. He had allotted it. Every one of them. Joshua dispersed it exactly as God allotted it to each tribe of Israel. It was divided up and amongst the tribes, and it was handed out to them. I'm wondering what they were thinking. I'm wondering if they were at the mind of saying, well, we've got the land. We don't need God anymore. He brought it. He gave it. It's ours. We'll do what we want to with it. But God had other ideas for them. Verse 2 goes on to say, Joshua says, the message that I'm sharing with you is not my message. It's God's message. Thus saith the Lord. As I stand before you from Sunday to Sunday, if I can't back up what I say with what is thus saith the Lord, don't you have anything to do with it. I'm the first to tell you that. But if what I say to you comes from God's Word, you receive it not because I said it, but because God said it. Thus saith the Lord. God has a message for them. Thus saith the Lord. Your fathers dwelt on the other side. Your fathers dwelt in a land that was filled with idolatry. Your fathers were in a place that were just as far away from God as could be. In fact, it says that your fathers, we understand that Abraham was called out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And just to make sure this morning, I went to a map just to make sure. That's part of what is modern day Iraq. And you know what kind of worship goes on there. Nothing that is substantial, but rather idolatrous worship of a dead man is what they worship in that area, in that land. God says, that's where your fathers were. And understanding something, if I hadn't brought Abram out of that, that's where they still would be. For you see, they knew nothing different than that. Can you identify with that this morning? Can you look back on a time of your life? And if you can't, I understand. I know that there are those of God's children that were born again and converted at a very early age. But can you look back on a time in your life when God didn't have that much meaning to you? Can you look back on a time in your life when the world had more draw than the Lord did? Can you remember the time that you first began to feel that tug, that pull, that draw that was within you? How that the Lord came to you and the Lord began to pull you, to draw you out of that. And as He did, He began to change your desires. He began to change your designs. He began to change your plans. He began to change your goals. He began to change your focus. He began to change your worship. Because at that time we were worshiping the world. But He's drawing us, and He drew us unto Himself. And He says, your fathers were there. They dwelt on the other side of the flood, and they served other gods. And He says, this is where you would still be, if not for me. That's God speaking, not Steve speaking. That's where you still would be. And then He begins, and. You know, one of my favorite words is but also right up there close to it is and. He's building. Every verse almost starts with and. I just noticed one started with but, one starts with then. One starts with now. Pay attention to those little words. They mean something. He says, I took your first three. I took your father from the other side of the flood. And I took him out when he had no children. Abram and Sarah, they were barren. There were no children there. Verse 4 says, And I gave him Isaac. I gave him a son at a point in time when it was physically impossible for a human being to have children. God says, I gave him Isaac. And then I gave Isaac two sons, Jacob and Esau. And I gave Esau, which represents the flesh, I gave Esau Mount Seir. I took care of the flesh. But more importantly, I took care of Jacob. And then he says, the way that I took care of Jacob was, I brought him down to Egypt. And I looked at that to begin with, and I thought, wait a minute, you took care of Jacob and his family, but you took care of him by taking him down to Egypt? Well, do you remember the circumstances why they went to Egypt? There was a drought in the land. And God had blessed by placing Joseph in Egypt, preparing for his people. He had blessed that he would take care of his people in Egypt. So he brought them to Egypt, and there he took care of them. And then when the time was right, he brought them out of Egypt. And he says, then, and I'm just kind of going down verse by verse. He says, then I brought them out of Egypt and I took them down to the Red Sea. It's kind of interesting. Last night, I don't believe in coincidences, but last night I was watching History Channel or Discovery Channel or something, and it was talking about an individual. No, actually, it's one of the religious channels. An individual who had retraced the steps of Israel coming out of Egypt. And he shows the way it seems that they came down and how that even at that very place, as they crossed the Red Sea, under the water, there is a flat place where it looks like literally a path going across the Red Sea. I believe that God still shows evidences of what He's done in the past. And I believe that showed to me that indeed God brought them across. He parted the waters, caused the east wind to blow, dried it out, and brought them across. And then he said, and then when Pharaoh and his armies tried to follow through, I closed the sea upon them. Amen. You see, it's so important for us to look back at times that God has delivered us. It's so important for us not to forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon us all throughout our lives. For if we forget those things, then we tend to wander off, straying, looking for something that will fulfill us. When God says, I am your fulfillment. I am the fullness that makes us absolutely complete. And then in verse 7, he says, And your eyes have seen what I have done. And again, I read that and I thought, well, now, wait a minute. But then I remembered. Remember when they sent the 12 spies into the land? They came back, the grapes, the pomegranates, and the evidence of what the land held for them. 10 spies said, you can't do it. 2, Joshua and Caleb said, sure we can. With God's help, we can take it. Let's go. Let's go right now. But there were those that said, no, let's go back to Egypt. You remember, every male from the age of 20 and above died. The women were kept alive, and those that were 20 and younger were kept alive. There were people standing right here in front of Joshua that had seen with their eyes what God had done for them. They had seen the waters part. They had felt the east wind. They had walked across on dry land. They had seen Pharaoh's army get swallowed up by water. They had seen the water come out of the rock. They had tasted the manna out of heaven. They had seen all of the great things that God had done for them, that God is rehearsing before them now. They had seen all of those things. Sometimes we forget, don't we? Sometimes our memory gets so short that we forget what God has done to bless us in the past. I'm telling you this morning, my message, if nothing else, this morning is to remind us that every one of us sitting here today, every single one of us, have seen the blessings of God on our lives. If you haven't, if you think you haven't, then you stay and talk with me after the service. Amen. Every one of us have seen the blessings of God that's on our lives. Every one of us have reason to stop and fall to our knees right now and praise Him for who He is and what He's done for us. Every single one of us, without exception.
Amen.
He says, your eyes have seen this. He says, and I brought you then, in verse 8, I brought you to the land of the Amorites. And they fought with you. Listen, don't swallow a falsehood that says life is a bowl of cherries. Never has been and never will be. Life is a struggle from beginning to end. We struggle coming into this world. We'll struggle going out of this world. And we'll struggle all in between the two. Just because He brought them into the promised land didn't mean that their struggles were over. But it did mean that He was saying, I am with you. And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. And I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never turn and walk away from you. He says, I brought you to the land of Amorites for a reason. Again, I go back to when He brought them out of Egypt. There was a way that was closer for them to go. There would have been a way that we would have thought would have been easier. They had gotten there just in a couple of days. But they would not have known what struggle is. And then when they met up with struggle, they wouldn't have known how to face it. God's teaching them. He's teaching them. They're struggling life. I find myself thinking on this verse and using it quite often here lately. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have struggle. You will have pressure against you. You will feel the force of life coming in upon you. But it doesn't stop there. He said, be of good cheer. For He says, I have overcome the world. And then Paul tells us that we are more than overcomers through Christ who loves us and gave Himself for us. Don't forget what Jesus has done. Don't lay it down. And don't try to do it on your own. You can't. You can't. He says, I brought you there. But then in verse 8 He says, and I've underlined these. I just had to keep reminding myself. I brought you there and I gave them to you. What a gift, huh? the enemy. But I gave them to you. I gave them to you. God said, I gave them to you. I gave you the enemy. Why did He give the enemy to them? You find it there in that same verse. I gave them and I destroyed them. You see, it's God. It's not us. It's the Lord. It's the power of the Lord. It's the power of the Lord. Verse 9 and 10, he says, then Balak, one of the kings, he came and he tried to buy out a curse against Israel by calling Balaam. And he tried to pay Balaam to pronounce a curse upon Israel. Three times Balaam tried to pronounce a curse on Israel. And three times God said, you're not going to do it. One time he used a donkey to say to Balaam, and that's not the biblical term for it, but he used a donkey to say to Balaam, you're not going to pronounce a curse on my people because God's blessed us. He's blessed us abundantly. He's blessed us beyond anything that we could ever hope or imagine. He said, Balaam tried, verse 10, he says, but I wouldn't listen. Balaam tried, but I wouldn't listen. The devil tries to stand and accuse you, but God says, I won't listen because my son died for that sin. I would not hearken. I would not listen. But what I did was, instead of him cursing you, he blessed you. And when he blessed you, I delivered you out of his hand. You know, I'll be honest with you, and this may sound cruel, crude, however you want to say it, but when I'm in a conversation with another human being and all I hear is, I did this, I did that, I did the other, I get bored with that. I do. I get bored with that. I don't want to hear what somebody else has done. But you talk to me about what God's done for you, and I'll listen to you all day long. You tell me what God has done, how God has worked in your life, I'll listen. And I'll rejoice with you. And I'll thank God with you for all that He's done in your life. You notice every one of these is God saying, I did this, I did this, I delivered you, I would not listen. I listen to God's eyes all the time. I would not hearken to Him. I delivered you out of His hand. He says, then you went over Jordan. Oh, you remember the Jordan River, how when they got there it was out on the banks? It was flood stage. Nobody could walk across Jordan River with the torrent that was flooding. But what did God do? He caused the waters to stand up on a heap. I believe it's the Jordan River that says that He congealed the waters. And we talked about that in our Bible study class a few weeks ago. And I said, can you imagine looking at the Jordan River and suddenly it becomes jello? It's just jello. It's just piled up in heaps there. And they walk across on dry land. That's what God can do. That which is meant to sweep your feet out from under you, God can cause it to be as firm as you need it to be to walk right across. Why would I depend on anything or anyone other than my God to see me through from one day to the other? And I have to say, hang my head and say, why have I depended on other things in my life? Why have I? It's because I forgot what God did for me. He went on. Brought you into the land. What was the first thing they faced? The city of Jericho. What was the thing that the 10 spies said we couldn't take? They've got great walled cities there. We can't do that. We can't go up against those. And where did God take them first? Did He take them down there in that little cornfield and say, here, just eat all you want to? You know, He brought them to the walled city. Listen. I say this with fear and trembling in my heart. When God allows pressure to come into our lives, it's not to defeat us, it's to strengthen us. It's not to cause us to overflow us, it's for us to walk on the storm and see His glory and His praise in our lives. He said, I sent the Amorites. You went up against the city of Jericho, then the Amorites, the Perizzites, all those ites that were in the land. And He says, and I delivered them into your hand. I gave them to you. And then, verse 12, and I sent the hornet before you. I love that. You ever been chased by hornets? I've had people tell me that they throw a rock Hey, somebody, Joshua, threw a rock and hit a hornet's nest. And they tell me a hornet can follow that direction where that rock came and come right back to the source of it. God said, I sent the hornets before you. I sent the hornets before you. Let me just read verse 12. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. But I didn't do it with your sword, and I didn't do it with your bow. And I know that's not how it reads, but that's what he's saying. I didn't use any of your power to drive them out. I sent the hornets out. Do you remember what Rahab, and I'm saying a lot of that, but they're remembering, so I want us to remember. Do you remember what Rahab the harlot said to the two spies when she hid them under the stalks of corn? She said, we've heard. The hornets had already gotten there. We've heard what your God did for you. We've heard how He brought you across the Jordan River. We've heard how that He's given all these kings into your hands. And when we heard those things, our hearts melted within us. Sometimes we fight a battle that God's already won for us. Our hearts begin to melt when our hearts should be strengthened in the Lord. We sing that song sometimes. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of His might. I sent the hornet. I gave you the land. You didn't labor. You didn't build the cities. You didn't build the houses. But I gave them to you. You didn't grow the vineyards. You didn't grow the olive yards. You didn't plant them, but you ate of them because I gave them to you. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father, in whom there is neither variableness, neither turning. Anything and everything good that we have is the direct result of God's mercy and God's grace. And don't ever think otherwise. Don't think that it was our strength, our knowledge, our ability, our wisdom, or our cunning devices that allowed us to win any victory over any enemy that comes up against us, because we didn't. It was God that gave it to us. And again, even though he's reminding them of him, it's still based on what you were and what you now are. You were in the land of idols that could do nothing for you. They could do nothing unless you moved. They couldn't even move if you didn't move them. And I've brought you to this place. Now, that was the then, and now he says, fear the Lord. You know, I found myself through the years of ministry always qualifying that word fear. God forgive me for doing that. If fearing the Lord means that you have trembling in your heart, then you fear the Lord. Because there are times that His hand is heavy upon us. If your fear of the Lord is to honor Him, that you have a fear that you do not want to displease Him, then fear Him in that way. Whatever way it is that God strikes fear in your heart, receive it as God gives it. Fear the Lord and serve Him. Serve Him sincerely. Serve Him in truth. But you can't do it. I can't do it if I don't put away the other gods. You can't. You cannot serve God and mammon. He does not want us to come before Him with a divided heart. We can't say that I trust God and then depend on everything else instead. Even those things that God has given to us that are helps for our health. I'm here to tell you this morning, they won't do a thing if God doesn't bless them. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for nurses. But I want to tell you, if it's not for God, they can't do a thing for you. I can tell you of at least one instance that I know firsthand. where the doctors were standing around an individual and they couldn't do one thing to keep him. So who are we going to put our trust in? Who are we going to honor? Into verse 14, Joshua, God says through Joshua, serve the Lord. Even when it seems life is all against you, serve the Lord. Even if you don't feel like praising Him, you praise Him anyway. His worth is not based on what I feel. His worth is based on who He is. You praise Him. You praise Him. You begin to praise Him. Even if you have to force it out of your mouth, you begin to praise Him. And as you do, I assure you that He will make Himself known to you in a way that you could not have begun to imagine once you begin to free up your heart and begin to praise rather than complain. When you begin to praise rather than commiserate. When you begin to praise rather than to feel sorry. When you begin to praise rather than look at all the troubles. When you begin to praise what God has done for you. I assure you that things will begin to change around you. And if things don't change around you, your heart and mind will change to a place where that you're at a peace and a joy that you knew nothing about before. But if that seems evil, if that does not seem right, then the words of God today are this. If that does not seem right, then you choose today, I choose today, who I'm going to serve. It's that simple. Can't get any more simple than that. Choose today, who will I serve? If I'm going to serve the gods of the world, then I'll bear the consequences of serving the gods of the world. But if I serve the Almighty God, who has blessed me already beyond anything that I could ever hope or imagine, there are blessings that I cannot even begin to imagine that God will bestow as we worship Him.